This is Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bektesh. Thanks for joining us for our candidate chat series leading up to the May 2nd election in Aspen. My guest today is Sue Tatum. She is running for Aspen City Council. Sue, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So let's begin with an opening statement. Why are you running for council?
Well, I've lived in Aspen for 20 years, and with my husband, Randy, and he died in last November.
I'm sorry.
So getting out and about, I rented a studio at the Red Brick, which I've started in February. And I also was looking at other things I could do, and this came up, and it seemed like something I had the skills for.
What are some of those skills that you would bring to the council chambers?
Well, the skills I have are mostly from the years I worked as a biology professor at Temple University. So I read proposals, and I was on grant panels, and I did financial analyses, so I can read a spreadsheet, and I can write, and I was used to talking to large groups. So I think, you know, I still have those skills, and some of those would fit with the city council.
Is this the first time you've run for an elected office?
The first time ever I didn't even run for student council.
It's a really crowded field. You're running against people who have run for office multiple times or who are incumbents. Do you want to win? Is adding your name about getting on the council, sitting behind the council table, or is it about a different conversation that you're hoping we have?
Well, I think most of the conversation I'll have is during the campaign. I don't expect to win for the reasons you said, the crowded field, but also most of the people who know me are the seniors, the medical people at the hospital, and the artists, and employees at the GAN, and most of them are Down Valley people and can't vote. They would like to have a voice, which I could give to them, but I don't think that I'll get the votes because I probably don't know enough people who are Aspen residents and voters.
So you're going in not knowing you're going to, thinking that you won't win, but you
right.
But you hope to win?
The longer I look at the job, the harder it seems, so the hope is diminishing. But being a candidate has been a lot of fun. I've met wonderful people, and I've seen things I hadn't seen before in Aspen, and like a lot of the employee housing, I had no idea it was so vast. And the people met. One nice, you know, every day I meet new people that are really nice, and so it has been really a lot of fun.
Who do you see yourself representing? What voice would you stand for? Where do you stand on the issues?
I'm not a Republican, but I'm a very conservative person about money. So I think any of the development I would be examining very carefully. Brent asked me if I could say no to development, but that was the wrong question to ask me. He should have asked me whether I could ever say yes to development. And so I think I'm a lot with the people who feel a little bit burnt out by all the construction and all that goes with it. On the other hand, you know, you do have to look at the proposals that come up and see if there's any merit in those. Most of the people that Lee and I knocked on a whole lot of doors in mostly employee housing, and the two things that people were worried about were the transportation on 82, getting up the valley, getting into the town, and finding a parking space if they didn't have an assigned one. So that was mentioned by nearly everybody that we talked to. And the second biggest issue was employee housing, whether they had it yet, or where I'm pending trying to get it, or some of their complaints about it once they had it, but I had no idea it was 3,000 units and people, or that there were 4,000 people that work for SKECO, so I'm learning a lot.
You mentioned Lee Mulcahy, who's running for mayor of Aspen, and you have your business cards, which is the two of you together. Do you see yourself as a joint ticket? What's that relationship?
Well, we're both artists, and we met at a Challenge Aspen event last fall, and it was a battle of the artists. And so we stood in the courtyard of the Sky Hotel, and 11 artists had 20 minutes each to, all at the same time, to paint a picture. And he was there painting picture, and I was there painting. And so that's how I met him. And then I learned later that we actually have a lot in common. We both have PhDs from Texas, and from the University of Texas, except that his is from the Arlington campus, and mine was from the Austin campus. And so that was the start of our friendship, I would call us. I would say we're art friends. And when he decided to run for mayor, I went in to get the application for the signatures and got one for city council at the same time. And I would not have gotten enough signatures without his help, because he marched me around the Burlingame, because he knew a lot of people there, because I wouldn't have known enough city voters on my own.
Have you been attending Aspen City Council meetings or watching them? What's your current analysis of the board makeup and some decisions they've made where you think coming in with a new voice would help?
Well, actually, all of them that I've met, I like real well, so I won't mind if they win. But there were only a few decisions over the years that I really, really was unhappy about. One was the what happened with the powerhouse, and how there were all these applications, and then I don't really drink, and so the idea that it would then be a beer garden, I was, and I, since I also was a teacher, and so I don't teach people to drink, so the idea that it would be a beer garden was, made me really unhappy, and especially since there were a number of applications that had gone through a normal process, and I thought Angie's application, I heard people thought was the best for additional use for the arts, and then I thought the science application was pretty good.
So then did you support it when they ultimately didn't allow the brewery to move in?
I was glad they didn't. I understand, and I don't know if this is a true story, that what's there now is the Wii bicycles in storage.
I don't know what's
inside. You'd have to ask someone else if that's true or not.
But it'll be city offices.
But it should be. Well, then also, when the city was suddenly looking for more space, I thought, well, why didn't they use the powerhouse from the get-go and not even put it up for applications?
Do you know how you would go about preparing for city council meetings?
Well, I would probably read all the material they gave me to read, which I have heard might be 300 pages a day. But, you know, I'm an academic person. I've been studying all my life, so I would study all the written materials mostly and ask a few questions about things I didn't understand and make some notes. So that's how I would prepare, the way I prepared to do anything for years.
And then how would you balance out staff recommendations with public comment, especially if they're not in alignment?
Well, I would say I usually think for myself, and I probably would have a pretty much of a decision made based on what I'd studied, and maybe had a few questions to ask. But I bet I would walk into the meeting with my mind pretty well set and hard to change.
Even if you hear public comment against what you were thinking?
I would listen. I'm a good listener. I've been listening as we've been knocking on doors to what people's concerns were. So I do listen to them, but I sort of, as I explained to you, I sort of aggregate them and, well, most of them, you know, would like us to think about this, and then what the issues were that the other people cared about.
You said as you've been knocking on doors, one thing that you're hearing over and over again is about housing. Do you have ideas for how to address some of the concerns you're hearing?
Well, I had no idea there were 3,000 people living in employee housing here. And I think that the basic idea that employees should have housing is really good. And I think the problems with it all depend on how they work things out. It seems to me, just offhand, that they have way too many rules. that you can't even expect the poor people in the housing to even remember all the rules. So I don't think the housing authorities would want to take away any of their rules, but I would suggest that maybe they should.
Rules about who qualifies or what you can do once you're in the house?
Well, I think there's a big difference between what we expect in our homes. We expect a lot of freedom, and I think we should have it. And the idea that there would be rules about whether you can rent and how much you can charge to rent your room in your place, and this and that and whatnot, that I think the finding all those rules, obeying all those rules, would be really restrictive and annoying.
Do you think we need more employee housing than we have?
Well, what the housing people that I've heard and exchanged email with say that we can't build our way out of the problem, and the problem is that there's a demand for employee housing and not enough of it. And I am a little worried about the number of people, just a few people, that it seemed they were trying to evict. So I would actually ask someone to investigate how many of the people there are and whether they're just trying to evict them to save space, especially since some of them are older. And in that retired, the group that's got employee housing but have worked here a long time and then are retired, I think it's a good idea that they are not just thrown out, but I can see what the problem is that it's caused.
So the new employees who are coming in, where do those people get housed?
Well, they're the ones that are saying we need a place to get housed, and the question is, I guess they are building some more housing now, and I think that people have to come up with some pretty creative ideas. Maybe making it easier to rent a room from somebody, because apparently if you want to rent a room even to another employee, you have to get permission to do that. You have to charge a certain amount, and so there, you know, there's so many rules that, and then some of them might come for a short time, some might come for a long time. I mean, even at the Gantt one year that my husband and I went to Hawaii for a couple months, we rented our condo at the Gantt to employ at the Gantt. So you can maybe there might be ways to encourage more of that, to find housing for at least some of the short timers that are here that are new. But it's a big problem.
I'm curious, because you say running for council is like one way to get involved with the community. How would sitting on council help an issue like that, as opposed to getting involved in the community in different ways or voicing your opinion to council without being on council?
Well, if I don't get elected, I guess I'll have to voice it the usual way.
You'll stay involved.
Write letters.
Okay.
Letters. Oh, this is my beloved little Aspen. That's the only reason I would even consider being on the council, is I love this town. I like it the way it is. I like the old funky town, and I don't want to lose that flavor. I was thinking about when I first came here, the 4th of July parade seemed like it only lasted about 15 minutes and there were squirt guns. And now, you know, it's a couple hours and there is some water, but it is.
You lament the squirt guns.
Yeah, I would like to have the squirt guns, fairly safe squirt guns.
You said a lot of the people who would vote for you can't because they're not
they're
City
Down
of
Valley,
Aspen
yeah.
voters. What do you talk to Down Valley people about? What are their issues? Like, do you have ideas, creative solutions for the entrance to Aspen or transportation along Highway 82?
I don't know if they're creative. The people in the city that I bounced them off of have always said, you can't do that. You have permission to do that from the state and the feds. And
like what?
Well, the thing that I really noticed is that when they gave away a whole lane for the buses, that seemed to be the start of the traffic problem. So
okay.
The first thing I would probably like the council to do, if it's possible, is to gather the authorities like the police and the bus people and see what might be done, and also to solicit suggestions from the citizenry, because a lot of people have come up with very detailed suggestions, and my immediate suggestion was just to find a way to let more cars into the bus lane. I suggested small cars, since I had one. I suggested perhaps cars driven by ladies, since I was one. And I think Brent suggested that we let everybody who's having a birthday use that lane. But it does seem a problem that so much of the lane is empty. At least when I've been driving it, it is empty. And no, I can understand the cars want a lane, the trucks want a lane, the bicycles want a lane, and I'm an artist, and I could use more places to turn out and have a lane too. But it's pretty hard to have enough lanes at this point when the road is already built. It's not that easy to widen it and make more space. So.
You also have marijuana as one of your campaign topics. What's your stance on that?
Well, I voted against it, and I was a teacher, so it's like the alcohol, and so I realize it's been legalized, and basically, since it is legal, the obvious thing is to regulate it, and then the obvious way to do that, apparently there are some proposals that have been put forward, is to regulate it pretty much similarly to bars and alcohol, and use that as a model, and education. I don't know how much education there is in the schools or how early we have to start, but I'll bet we'd have to start pretty young and educate them as part of the health programs, whatever health teaching they have in the schools. I mean, so that's the obvious thing to do. I don't think you're going to turn back the clock. It sounds like, I even considered moving. I said, I don't like this in my state.
You know? You almost left Colorado when marijuana passed.
Well, it's hard to leave Colorado, but it's hard to leave Colorado. Boy, where? I spend part of the year in New Jersey and part of the year in Maui, and so, you know, I thought, well, maybe I should go live one of those places. But those states are trying to legalize marijuana. I mean, they've all looked at the money that's can be made, and so I think the other states are just going to join us very quickly.
I only have a couple questions left, but if anyone has a question for Sue while we're chatting, you can write it down on a postcard and we'll slip that into the discussion. I'm wondering what you think makes a strong council. Do you have people you would vote for if the election was today? And what needs to be done? What dynamic needs to be there in order
for... My own concerns is I like the environment. I want development to be slow, and so I would vote for the people who are interested in those. And the people I've met have really been all very good, and I was really pleased to see that such a nice group and such a intelligent group was interested in the work. If I'm not elected, one of the first things I thought I might do is I might suggest. I wouldn't want to suggest this if I was elected, that they actually pay them more than they're paying them, because I don't need the money. But I think they're doing a bigger job, and I understand the county people that do a similar job are paid quite a bit more. And so I think I might suggest to them that they vote, but I don't know if they would have to do it themselves or whether they would have to go to the electorate to raise their... pay a little bit. That would help.
I'll give just a moment for audience questions to come through. I'm sure that current council members will be very happy to hear you say that. I know they do a lot of...
Oh, it's a huge amount of work that they do.
And while I'm waiting on that, I do want to give you the time to talk about any other issues that are important to you. It does sound like you're running in order to get a conversation going. Is there anything we didn't touch on that you think needs to be part of the public conversation?
Well, I think noise is part of the problem of our increased growth. Noise from the cars, from the construction and all. And I am a scientist who studied sleep and wakefulness. It was my field and the pineal gland. And so... when things got noisy in the neighborhood, I actually had a noise meter because I was a scientist. And when I first got to Aspen, the night noise outside the GAN condominiums was 15 decibels. And that was mainly from coyotes and from the Roaring Fork River, which I could hear, and just sort of a few little night noises from cars and things. But then a couple years ago, I measured it again. It was up to 40 decibels at night. And the city has set the limit at 50 decibels for night noise. And I would suggest that they lower it to 30 decibels, because if you investigate online and in scientific articles, what noise level it takes for people to sleep.
What would you say is
it's 30 decibels.
Making the noise now.
What's making it now?
Yeah.
Well, it's off season, so right now there's a lot of construction noise. But most of that
at
is
night?
Pretty well, I'm just going to say, it's pretty well confined to the day. They're pretty good about, from my perspective, about waiting till 7 in the morning. And also at the Gant, I wait until 7 in the morning to play my piano and run my vacuum cleaner because I don't want to wake up the guests. Later in the day, they're not so good at cutting it off. If they've got a job going, they're trying to get it finished, and sometimes the noise, it does not cut off as fast as it should at night. But usually by the time it's dark, it's pretty, you know, it's you're down to the night noise. But some of it is from the HVACs, and we have larger buildings, and even some of the houses that are being built are being heated and cooled with industrial equipment because they're so large.
Let me get on to some audience questions. What have you been following the water rights issue, and what's your position on Aspen retaining damming rights on Castle Maroon Creek?
I don't want any dams on those creeks, and it seems the argument is we have to have the dams in order to hang onto the water rights. Well, I can't believe there isn't some other way we can keep our water rights without building huge dams on our beautiful.
But if that was the case, if you had to choose water rights with dams or giving up the water rights, what would you go for?
Oh, I probably would find it very hard to vote for the dams.
Okay. And then I want to clarify something you said about public transportation. It sounds like you don't support prioritizing those bus lanes. I think the reason we keep those as just buses is so that it's a faster commute, so people choose to use public transportation. What's your view on public transportation in
well,
general?
Well, I use it in town, and it works very well. I use the GAN vans and the crosstown bus in town are the ones that I use the most. And if I do have a car, but I drive it when I go out to paint at the Maroon Bells. Part of that is because I take a whole load of stuff. So I think one of the problems with the public transportation is a lot of the people are transporting a huge amount of equipment, and it just isn't practical to use the bus transportation. I haven't really seen statistics of how many people they've gotten out of cars
in order to use the buses. And
also I was sort of surprised that everybody else had to pay for the buses, because I'm a senior and they're free.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, gee, I mean, if they really want to get people out of their cars, why don't they make the buses free? But there are still people talking about building a train.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that doesn't happen overnight, but we do have the buses. But maybe we could get a few more cars in that lane. And maybe there are some other things to do. I don't like the entrance to Aspen issue. And the main thing I don't like about it is because I've also studied the wildfire issue. And the wildfire people came around and talked to the seniors, and I've written them emails and talked to them about it. And basically what they do is tell you to have a go bag. So I have this vision of myself with my grocery cart, with my cat in his little bag and my go bags, and walking this cart down 82, because I can't get my car out of the town because there's only this one way out of town and it's all jammed. So if I was going to make any recommendations about the entrance to Aspen, I'd like to see it be entrances to Aspen and make a lot of smaller ones, so there wouldn't be just one way out of town and we would have more opt for two ways out of town. We would have more options. And also, if you do smaller projects, it might be more practical to have a bunch of small ways in. I'm not sure where it can be done. I already started looking at maps to see how they could get around having just one way, one main entrance to Aspen.
That's our time. Sue, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Sue Tatum is running for Aspen City Council. You're listening to Candidate Chats on Aspen Public Radio. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Georgianne, I thought you'd